Father God, we thank you once again for another time to get into your word, Father. Father God, we are opening up our hearts to hear what you have to say. Father, our desire, our heart's desire is to become godly women, to be that woman that you created us to be. And Father God, we open up our hearts to hear what you have to say, things that we can do, changes that we can make in our life so that we can be pleasing to you. We thank you, Father, in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want you to turn to Titus. Turn to Titus 2. Pastor set this chair here just in case I wanted to sit there, but I have so many books. I'm using it as a book stool. All right, Titus 2. This is a wonderful passage. It has some valuable information that we can glean from concerning the role of the woman. Titus 2, and I'm going to start at verse 3. And it reads, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed." All right, so there's certain things. If a woman doesn't function in the role that God created her to function in, then here basically the word of God is saying is that you cause the word of God to be blasphemed when you don't do that. All right, and in this passage we have some things that if we want to be godly women, we need to make sure that our lives are living up to what this says, all right? Because this is our standard as to what is right and what is wrong, all right? And I want you to focus on the one part in this passage where it says, keepers at home. Keepers at home. I looked up that phrase in Vine's Expository Dictionary, and what it said was that that phrase means workers at home, or watching or keeping the home. All right? As women of God, that needs to be our focus. All right? Especially if you are married, you have children, your number one focus needs to be maintaining that home. All right? The Bible says here that you are a keeper of the home. And the way God designed the family is that the home is to be your area of responsibility. That's your domain, all right? Turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. And we've all read this passage. This is the ideal woman, amen? Proverbs 31. And starting at verse 13, let's find out some of the things that this Proverbs 31 woman did. It reads, "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy." Verse 21, "She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." If you notice, in this passage, there's many scriptures or verses that deal with her role as far as being at home and taking care of the home. All right? So she is the example that we need to follow. And if we want to be excellent women, and I don't know about you, that's my goal. I want to be an excellent woman. I want to be an excellent wife. I want to be an excellent mother. I don't want to just settle for mediocrity. All right? I want to be an excellent woman. Then we need to make sure that we're doing what God says. And in a very important role that we have as women is ministering to the needs of your family. All right? Making sure that your family's basic needs are being met. All right? So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about some things that we can do as far as meeting our family's need, good nutrition, nourishment. All right? The title of our message is Eating to Live. That's what I've developed as our model at our house, that we're going to eat to live, all right? Eat to live. So if you're going to eat to live, then that means that there's certain foods that you need to eat and certain foods that you don't. But the question may, and I don't know if, since we've been talking a lot about health here at the church, I don't know if you all were like me, kind of struggling with, well, what do I feed my kids? What do I feed the family? What do we do? How can I make it practical? And so that's what we want to deal with here. Some of the practical things, some of the things that you need to take into consideration if you're going to be that dietitian of the home. All right? Proper nutrition is important because, see, the nutrients that we get from the food that we eat, it's supposed to help us be healthy and strong. It helps keep our immune system strong. But see, if you're not getting the proper nutrients, then your immune system is not going to be strong, all right? It's going to be weak, and when your immune system is weak, that opens up the door for sickness and disease, right? So we want to be healthy, right? We want to be strong, and we've been learning here at Joy Faith that if you want to walk in divine health, there's some steps you have to take, right? And this is a step that we need to take as women, as the keeper of the home, making sure that our family gets the proper nutrition that they're supposed to receive. If you look at verse 27, it says, she looketh well to the ways of her household. She looketh well to the ways of her household. And what I want to encourage all of you is to begin looking well to the ways of your household concerning nutrition. Open up your fridge and look what's in there. Open up your cupboards and look what you have in the cupboards. Do you have food that's going to help nourish your family's body? Or do you have food in there that's going to do harm? All right? So we want to eat to live. Amen? The first thing that we have to do is that we have to set a good example. All right? We have to set a good example because children, they learn what they live. They learn what you live. Now, when I was growing up, I was born and raised in Canada. So my eating habits were a little bit different than what Pastor's eating habits were. His family came from the South. All right? I was brought up with a Canadian background. Now, those of you that are from the South, you guys are probably used to eating like grits for breakfast and stuff like that. Me, I just started getting used to eating grits. Not that I didn't like them, but because of my background, my mom didn't make grits all the time. So that wasn't something that we just ate all the time for breakfast, all right? During Christmas time for the holidays, many people from the South, they have cornbread dressing, right? My family, we didn't. My mother, you're saying I was deprived, huh? my mother's mother was French Canadian. So we would have a bread stuffing, and then also we would have a French dressing that consisted of a type of meat, and there was some bread in it and some different seasonings. So you can see that depending on your background, you're brought up different. Yes. Chitlins, I've never had them. But all I knew from growing up, from what my mother had said, she knew that my grandfather enjoyed chitlins. So when she was dating my dad, whenever she would go to his house, she knew that my dad wouldn't eat the chitlins. She didn't know what chitlins looked like. She didn't know what they smelled like, none of that. But she knew that my dad didn't eat them. So what she said, well, whenever I go to his house, I'll just eat what he eats, since he doesn't eat chitlins. Well, my family, we never ate chitlins. All right? So you can see that depending on how you're brought up, it determines the foods that you like, the foods that you eat. And most of you, as far as your eating habits, a lot of them, they're shaped because of the way you were brought up. All right? The way you're cooking now, a lot of your cooking techniques and the way you cook food and prepare food is based on the way your mother cooked. All right? So if your mother did a lot of frying and stuff like that, then you probably developed that habit because you learn what you live, all right? So if we want our children to eat to live, then it starts with us. We've got to set that example. Turn to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. And it reads, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do you know that that can even apply as far as eating? Train up a child in the way that he will eat, and then when he gets older, he may be more apt to follow that, all right? Because kids learn what they live. So as an adult, our health is our responsibility. Whether or not I'm going to be healthy or strong, now that I'm an adult, it's my responsibility. But do you know what? As far as your kids, their health, that's your responsibility also. And they're only going to eat what you serve them. When you have small kids, they're not the ones that are driving to the store and bringing the junk food home. When they get older, they may be. But the little ones, like my kids, they don't drive. So if there's junk food in the house, then it's because we brought it or I let them get it. All right? So what we need to do is we need to endeavor to train our children to live a better life, a life that's free of sickness, a life that's free of disease. And it starts with learning to not only live right, because, see, you can eat right and not live right, and you can still open up the door. Teaching our kids to live right, have that right relationship with the Lord, and then eat right, all right? So we want to train them up in the way that they should go. One of the leading causes of death in children under the age of 14, other than accidents, is cancer. Cancer. I mean, all the children that have cancer nowadays, it's amazing the kids that are dying of cancer. And see, many of the cancers that are out there, they're either due to some type of dietary factor, nutrition, an environmental factor, or something in the environment. And those are things that we can control. All right? So what we want to do is we want to give our children the experience and knowledge they need so that they can thrive, so that they can be healthy and they can be strong. But that's going to require that we set the example. If we want them to eat to live, then we need to be setting that example, eating to live, right? Another thing that we have to keep in mind is beware of what you are buying. My mother used to laugh at me when I would say how long I was at the grocery store. She's like, well, what do you do there? You've got to read those labels, all right? Now, if you choose to buy things that are in a can, you need to be aware of what you are purchasing, all right? Remember, what we want to do is we want to make healthier choices, all right? So you want to make sure that you're reading the labels. Don't be misled if the label says all natural ingredients, no preservatives added, natural fruit flavors with real fruit, All right? That doesn't mean that there aren't any harmful additives in those cans. Now, I remember when I was growing up, my mother, she used to do her own canning. And it was like every year she would do it. She would do the tomatoes. She would do the pears. She would make her own preserves and stuff like that. And really, if you look at it, and you know, some of you may recall maybe your mother or maybe your mother's mother did that. And really, if you look at it from that standpoint, you know, that's probably better than buying some of the stuff we get in the store because, see, you know what's in there. You can make sure that the fruit and the vegetables that you're getting are organic. You know whether or not there's any additives put in there. There's nothing hidden. You know what's in that those products, all right? So you have to be aware of what's in the food that you're buying. And you can't just think, well, just because I'm getting it from Whole Foods or Nutrition World, that means that there's no additives in it, all right? There's a lot of things that are there that are also harmful for your body. I know I went to Nutrition World the other day, and I was trying to find a sweetener for the children. And I had heard that sorghum was supposed to be good, and then brown rice syrup. So I was purchasing those, but I wanted to find out, thinking from the experts, something that I could get other than that. Maybe there was something else. And so what she had told me, she says, well, you know, those are still, you know, sugars. What I would recommend, she said, is xylitol. And I said, xylitol? I said, well, what is that? I said, is that like, you know, NutraSweet and that stuff that is harmful for you? She says, oh, no, it's not. So she gave me a little sample. Well, when I went out to the van, I had this little book. How many of you have this book? Food Additives, A Shopper's Guide to What's Safe and What's Not. And I didn't realize Pastor had pointed it out. Well, you know, xylitol is right on the cover. And so I looked it up. This book is really good because what it does is it lets you know all about all the different additives. I looked it up, xylitol, and it says mildly toxic, may cause upset stomach in large doses, has caused cancer in lab animals. So she's like, well, I would recommend xylitol. So just because it's at the health food store or Nutrition World doesn't necessarily mean that it's good for you. You know, you got to watch out for yourself. You've got to do your own research, all right? And just because someone says something is good for you, you've got to do your own research and you got to follow after your own heart. All right? Follow after wisdom, you know? So this is an excellent book that will help let you know, well, what are the things that are in this food? Because some of that stuff, I don't know about you, you try reading them, you can't even pronounce them. So probably if we can't pronounce them, they're probably not good for us, right? All right. So of course, the best thing is eating food at their natural state. But if you choose to get canned goods, then you want to make sure that you are a wise shopper in your purchase, all right? Another thing as far as the canned goods is that you want to make sure that you know, some of the canned goods, and you can find these at the Whole Foods stores, a lot of the cans, they have that lead. But there are some brands in which they have a coating. That way, the lead isn't seeping into your food that's in the can. Now, it's in very small writing, because I went to the store and I was looking, and there's a few that have it, but not all of them do. All right, so that's something that you can keep in mind. All right, the other thing as far as being aware of what you are buying is keep in mind that organic is best. My grandfather, when he was alive, my memories of him is always being out in the field because they had a garden and he would plant his own produce, would grow lettuce. And I think my aunt had said that he did carrots and I know he did, rhubarb. He would grow that. And so they grew a lot of the food that they ate. Well, you know, he probably did not put all of the chemicals and pesticides that they're using nowadays on the food that we're eating, that we're buying from the grocery store. So when you buy something that is organic, yes, it may cost, you know, more money, but you're getting a product that is grown without insecticide, pesticides, weed killers, and other toxic chemicals. You know, keep in mind that when those items are on the food, some of it can seep in. All right? And you're eating that, so guess what you're taking on the inside of you? Those toxins, the pesticides, the insecticides, and all that stuff. All right? So you want to make sure that if you can, get organic. In this one book that I was reading, it was talking about the pesticides. And one thing that they said regarding the pesticide sprayed on produce is that it was the third highest risk for causing cancer. Third highest risk for causing cancer. And in this book, they had mentioned as far as this one study that was done, and I guess in February of 1987, they estimated that pesticides caused cancer in 6,000 Americans each year. So just imagine what it's doing now, all right? So what you want to do is, there's some foods that are more highly concentrated with the pesticides. It's best if you maybe start off by replacing those first. Some of the foods that are really high in pesticides, have the highest amount, are apples, strawberries, broccoli, peaches, grapes, pears, and spinach. High in pesticides, all right? They also have at the, I know at Nutrition World and even the Whole Food, where they've got stuff that you can spray on your fruits and vegetables to remove the pesticides. I don't know how effective that is. They say that it removes the residue and the pesticides and all that stuff. We have some that we use on our fruits and vegetables, all right? So as women, we want to make sure that we're aware of what we're buying. Be aware of what you're buying. And when you're purchasing vegetables and fruits, you also want to make sure that you're purchasing some of those power foods, the foods that are going to give your family the energy and the strength that they need to be healthy and strong. Some of the power foods are like the broccoli, the cabbage, the cauliflower, the Brussels sprouts, the collards, carrots. That's a power food. It's high in beta carotene, tangerine, foods that have chlorophyll. All right. Now, these foods, they're best if you eat them raw. I find that doing the juicing is the best way for us to get, you know, some of our raw vegetables, and it's easy for the kids. What I've been trying to do is carrot juice every day for the kids. Carrot juice. And then I'll even put some of the greens in it. One time someone had given us some greens, collard greens, and I had so much collard greens, I put the collard greens in with my carrot juice. And do you know my kids drank it? Now, you know, if you can get the kids to drink it, and I mean, I didn't have to do a whole lot of fighting with them. They didn't have to get on punishment because they didn't drink their juice. I mean, because, you know, you could think, well, you know, you just twisted their arms and made them. It took them all day to drink it. No, they drank it. There's a lot of things that you can get your kids to consume if you put it in the juice. All right? So they drink the carrot juice. And what I've been doing is, I get the big bag, the 5-pound bag, and I try and do that because, you know, I'm busy just like you guys, all right? And so for me to have to juice every single meal, it takes up a lot of time for me to do that. So what I've been doing is, I usually try and do, like, in the evening, with the evening meal, I'll take a big five, for my family, a big 5-pound bag of carrots. I'll put some carrots in it, some celery. Like I told you that one time I threw in some greens. Sometimes if I have some leftover romaine lettuce, I'll throw that in it. And I'll do that up. And that gives us enough where everyone can have a glass of the carrot juice. And then there's a little bit left over where in the morning, the kids can have some carrot juice before they go to school. And then that way, they're getting at least the carrot juice or the juice twice a day. And then the next day, I'll do my juicing again in the evening. All right? But see, this will help your children be healthy and help them be strong, all right? Keep in mind that if you don't want your kids to eat it, then don't buy it, all right? If you don't want them to eat it, don't buy it, because they're only going to eat what you buy, unless they go out of the house and get it somewhere else, all right? And if it's not in the house, you guys aren't going to eat it, right?
Right.
All right? Another thing to keep in mind as far as being that good dietitian of the home is providing nutritious meals for your family. Nutritious meals. Meals that are going to give them the energy that they need to make it throughout the day. All right? I want to talk just a little bit about the microwave. Now, I can say I didn't say it. Juanita said it, all right? The microwave. We used to have a microwave in our house, and then when Pastor did some reading and found out about how harmful the microwave can be, we had a portable one that was on the counter. We got rid of it. Now, we still have a spot where a microwave can go up over the stove, and we haven't put it up yet, but we probably will. And what I'll be doing with that is using it for storage. All right? But you don't want to use the microwave. It changes the character of the protein in the food, and the food becomes a toxin. All right? It becomes a toxin. Many of us, we've become dependent on the microwave because if you look at the fast pace that we live in, it is so easy just to zap it in the microwave. You have leftovers, you want to eat something leftover, it's easy, just zap it in the microwave, all right? So we've really become dependent on it. But, you know, have you really thought of the consequences of the microwave, what it's doing on the inside of you? In this book, Recipes for Life from God's Garden, they have a little section about the microwave, and there's just a couple things that I wanted to read in here. There was a lawsuit in 1991 filed in Oklahoma when a woman went into the hospital for hip surgery and died because of a blood transfusion that was given to her. When you're giving blood, you have to warm the blood up before you give it to the person. And when I worked as a nurse, what we would do is we would like put it under our arm and use like the body heat. Well, what this nurse did was she put it in the microwave. And then they gave it to the patient. And what happened was that the microwave altered the blood molecules, and the woman died due to this microwaved blood. Well, when I read that, I got to thinking, just imagine what the food, what the microwave is doing to the food that we're putting in there. And then we're consuming it. All right? There was a study conducted in Germany. 8 people were given a morning meal that consisted of milk or lightly cooked vegetables. Some were given food that had been microwaved. During the 2-month study, each person has his or her blood drawn 3 times per day to test the nutrient and bacteria levels. The blood measurements for those who ate the microwave foods were quite alarming because they indicated molecular changes in the food which cannot be detected until after the food is consumed. Some of the findings were as follows. There was a decrease in the hemoglobin levels in the blood of those people that ingested the microwaved food. These reductions in the hemoglobin can indicate anemia, which could lead to rheumatism, fever, and thyroid insufficiency. When microwave food was eaten, the lymphocyte levels dropped dramatically and the leukocyte count skyrocketed. This indicated that the body is treating the microwave food as a toxic substance. Lipoprotein levels, both high and low, rose significantly after vegetables that were microwaved were consumed. Lipoprotein levels are used to measure cholesterol in the body. The radiation levels of light-emitting bacteria were highest in those who ate microwave food, which indicates that microwave energy may be transferred from the food to the person who consumed it. It is a known fact that heating destroys nutrients. However, the most frightening discovery of all was that the blood of those who ingested the microwave food showed pathological changes in the body's cells. I don't know about you, but I'm not microwaving my food anymore. I can't. We got rid of it. All right? So the microwave is just an example of a modern-day convenience that we have that really isn't beneficial. So if you want to be a good dietitian and a good keeper of the home, then don't use the microwave to cook your food. I mean, if you got to believe God for some more time, get more organized, all right? It's not worth it, all right? It's not worth it. The other thing as far as providing nutritious meals, a lot of people will say, well, you know, what do you cook? What I've been doing is I have a lot of recipe books. I think that was something that I would just collect. You know, you go to Publix and on the side they have all those little recipe books. I mean, it's like I just kept buying them all. So you know what your family likes. You know what their likes are. You know what their dislikes are. You probably have a whole lot of different recipes at home. What I just started doing was just start making healthy substitutions. All right? Taking some of the recipes that I already had, looking at them, and revising them and just making healthier substitutions. All right? You hear about the importance of making sure that you eat lean meat. All right? So if you have a recipe, let's say you were using a meat that wasn't as lean, like for example, when we would eat tacos, used to always use the ground beef. Well, when I started getting a little bit wiser to the food that I eat and how it affects me, I said, well, you know what? I need to get the leaner cut. Then I started going, well, you know what? Why not, instead of using the beef, use, you know, the ground turkey in it? All right? So it's making healthier substitutions and taking some of the recipes that you already have and looking at them, okay, well, what in this is not good for my family? Fried chicken. People love fried chicken. But you know what? You have that chicken and you have it soaking in all that oil, all that fat, which isn't good for you. So one thing that we did when we were eating fried chicken was, instead of frying it in that big pot of oil, oven fry it. That way you're not using as much oil, all right? And it's better for you. So make healthier substitutions. Take some of the recipes that you have and alter them. Look at the ingredients that are in there. Some recipes, they call for salt and they don't even need salt. I mean, have you tried omitting the salt and you're like, well, you know what? It didn't even need the salt in there, all right? So that's one thing that we would do. Another thing is replace the bad stuff. Replace the bad stuff with the good stuff. They say there's the killer whites, the three killer whites, white sugar, white flour, and white salt. Those are highly refined and they have low, if any, nutritional value. So what you want to do is you want to replace those with a healthier substitution. All right? Replace white sugar with maybe honey, molasses, brown rice syrup. Not the xylitol, all right? Because see, you have to realize that these items, they don't really have a good effect on our body. I was reading in this one book, and it was talking about white sugar and how it affects us. And it said in this book that it enlarges the kidney and liver. It robs the body of calcium. It depletes our body of vitamin B and C. It robs the body of other nutrients. It is rapidly absorbed in the bloodstream, causing hyperactivity in some children. I was really, well, I guess I wasn't shocked when Bobby was at this after school program. I said, well, how was it? He said, oh, I really liked it. I said, well, what did you do? They gave me pudding. Is this supposed to be a study group and they're giving them pudding? They say sugar also suppresses the immune system. All right? We want our kids to be healthy and strong. Well, we can't expect them to be healthy and strong when we're giving them all that sugar, right? Replace the white flour with whole wheat flour. And you know, you really have to read the labels. Just because the bread looks brown doesn't mean it's whole wheat. They may have just put some caramel in it to color it, all right? So you really have to read the labels. I know when I was growing up, we would take white flour and put water in it and make glue. Any of you, have you ever done that? So just imagine that white bread, if you feed that to your kids. If you can take the white flour and put water in it and make glue, all right? Replace the white salt. Instead of using, you know, the salt, use garlic powder, onion powder, or other herbs, all right, to flavor your food. All right? Salt, it raises your blood pressure, causes potassium loss, fluid retention, and can increase your risk of heart disease. There's a lot of different books out there that can give you information as far as healthy substitutions. The one book that I had mentioned, this one here, Recipes for Life from God's Garden, has a lot of good recipes in here. And not everything in here is raw. There's a lot of cooked foods that are very good in here. And just some of the information that she has in the beginning is really good as far as giving you information on what you need to keep in mind when you're preparing food. There was another book that I've been reading, and I don't think we have this here at the bookstore, but it's Train Your Child Up in the Way They Should Eat. This is by Sharon Brower. And then she also has another book, The Maximum Energy Cookbook. You can tell I've really been into this book, all my little stickies. But I found a lot of good, helpful information in there. One thing that I'm finding is that, you know, if you want to be a good keeper of the home, then you're just going to have to get books and read it. You can't expect someone to just give you all the information. Because if you do that, it's going to take forever for you to get the information. But if you can pick up a book, a couple books, the information that you can glean from that, and that way you can be a better keeper of the home for your family and meeting their basic needs, all right? Another thing to keep in mind is to make sure your family starts the day off with a nutritious breakfast. A nutritious breakfast. There was one time in which I was watching this little kid. His mom had to go to work early in the morning, and they lived down the street from us, and she just wanted to drop him off that way because my kids got on the bus with their child, and the bus stop was like right in front of my house. So she would drop him off, and that way he could be at my house and then get on the bus with my kids. And she would always bring her breakfast for the kid. And this one time, when I looked at what she had, it was a box of donuts. Box of donuts. Do you know that that's what some of our children are eating for breakfast? Sugar. Nothing but sugar. All right? No nutrition in it. Yes, it's quick. Just give them the box and the kid can just eat it. All right? You know, you have to keep in mind that breakfast is your fuel meal. It's going to get your day started. All right? So you want to provide a nutritious breakfast, and a nutritious one would be one that's comprised of live food. That way your kids can get the fuel that their body needs for the remainder of the day. My kids love eating fresh fruit in the morning, and really that's good for them. Fruit is an excellent breakfast choice. It's a highly concentrated carbohydrate, which makes it an ideal fuel to start the day. It's easy to digest. It's high in fiber. And you know, we need fiber because what fiber does is it binds to the toxins that are in our body so that they can be eliminated. All right? It's loaded with vitamins, and it will provide you with the energy you need to make it through the day. If you choose to give your children cereal from the box, you have to be wise as far as, you know, the choices that you're making, even with the cereal. Many of the cereals that are on the market or in the grocery store, they are like 50% sugar. Now, you know, I read that in this one book, she had said that most of the cereals that are on the market is like 60% sugar. And I'm like, really? You know, I knew the cereals had a lot of sugar in it. So I said, well, I'm going to find out for myself. So I went to Publix. They probably thought that I was, you know, looking at the prices to compare them and see if how I worked at a competitor store or something like that. And I just looked at some of the popular cereals that kids like. And I looked at the sugar content. Fruit Loops, the servings of sugar per serving was 13 grams. Trix, 11. Lucky, 13. Life Cinnamon, 19. Apple Jacks, 13. Kix, 12. But you know what I found interesting is that when you just look at those numbers, you're like, well, that's not that bad. And I'm up there thinking, well, how did she get that high percentage? And then when I looked on the box, I said, you know what? They have per serving. So if I want to find out how much sugar is actually in that whole box, I got to do some math. And so when I did my math, Fruit Loops, 45% sugar. Fruit Loops with marshmallows, 54% sugar. Trix, 42% sugar. And then I got to thinking, you know what? You notice they didn't put that on the box. Because some of us, if we saw that, your response would be just like you did when I said it to you. Wow. You know, you think, oh my gosh, you know, I can't give them all that sugar. But see, when you just see the 13 or whatever, it's like, well, you know, that might be a little bit high, but it really has a bigger impact when you really see how much sugar is in that box of cereal. All right. So you have to be aware of the sugar that you're, the cereal that you're giving your children. The other thing is that, you know, the kids, they need fiber just like all of us need fiber. And when I looked at the fiber content of the sugar, the cereals that I examined, all of them were low in fiber. We need like 24 to 25 grams of fiber a day. When I looked at how much was in there, there was only one, and I looked at 8 boxes of cereal. The highest number was 2, and that was in one box. And one box had the nerve to write that they had less than 1. All right? This one book I read, it said that when we're picking cereal for our children, it's best if you choose a cereal that has more than 6 to 7 grams of fiber. And if you look at most of the cereal for the kids, it doesn't have that. Now, the other day when I was at Publix, Publix is one of my favorite stores to go to, I found this cereal. It's organic. Notice it's nice, appealing to the kids. The kids like, I want the Clifford cereal. All right? The amount of fiber in this cereal, 5 grams of fiber. And it tastes good. All right? Lynn, if you can come up here, I've got a little plate. Why don't you put some in the plate, and that way everyone can taste them. Now, you know, if I can get my kids to eat it and they ask for it, when we were almost running out, they said, we need more, Mom. Now, when I went to Nutrition World, I didn't see that there. I'm not sure if that's a new cereal that they just came out with. Have you seen that before, you guys?
No.
It's fairly new.
Okay. But I saw it at Publix.
Well, they have it at Target, too.
Target? Okay. Have you served that to your children yet?
No, they've been eating like the hard.
Okay. So this is something, you know, it has 5 grams of fiber in it. Because, you know, if you have kids, it's hard to get them to eat. So at least you're giving them something that will at least benefit them. What my kids usually eat in the morning, like I said, they'll have the fresh fruit. They like the fresh fruit. If they have the cereal, I'm picky as to what cereals that I will purchase for them. And then they'll have their carrot juice, all right? And then that way they're getting their fuel meal, all right? It's almost like we're passing communion, right? All right? So you want to be aware as far as the purchases that you're making as far as the cereal, all right? Also, be wise in your other purchases. All right. Now, Pastor gave us a list as far as the meat, clean and unclean meat. All right. I mean, take that list and use it. I mean, God knows what's best for our bodies. All right. And if he says that certain meat is considered clean and certain is considered unclean, then we need to follow the Creator's guidelines. Amen. When you are picking meat, you want to make sure that you select lean cuts of meat. And the reason being is if you're eating a meat that is full of fat, that's where the toxins are. So when you consume that fatty meat, guess what you're getting in addition? The toxins. All right? So you want to pick lean cuts of meat. All right? Like I said, the Bible even talks about not eating the fat. Turn to Leviticus 3:17. How does that cereal taste? It's not bad, isn't it? All right, Leviticus 3:17. But I mean, when you start looking at labels, you will be amazed at what's inside the stuff that we're consuming. You will be shocked, all right? And one thing about this, you know, we keep hearing faith comes by hearing and by hearing. Do you know that even faith concerning eating right comes by hearing? You know, the more you hear, then it affects you and can help you make the decision to make some changes, all right? To make some healthy changes, the more you hear. So maybe if you think some of the things that we're saying is like, well, you know, I'm not going for that. Get some more information and check it out for yourself and see what's witnessing on the inside of you. Leviticus 3:17. And it reads, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that ye eat neither fat nor blood. All right. Now, this was an interesting piece of information that I found from this one book. She was talking about meat, and she recommended in her book that you wait until your children are 10 or 11 before you even give them meat. I had never heard that before. She had said that the reason being is because kids at a young age have a hard time digesting beef and animal proteins. And they say that beef is like the hardest. All right? So I thought that was interesting, you know? Another thing as far as meats, you want to avoid processed meats because they're full of salt and nitrates. All right? Other purchases as far as making wise choices, juices. Of course, the best thing is to make your own juice. But let's say you're not able to do that, or you're purchasing juice, you want to make sure that you make a wise decision as far as the juice that you get. The whole food or even nutrition world, they have juices that are made out of organic fruits, Publix. Now you have to look, they have a certain section for it, all right? And then also, the other thing is that at the Whole Foods, some of their juices are in the glass bottles, which is better because they say that the plastic can seep into the stuff that you're drinking. And at first, you know, someone had said that, and then one time I was drinking some bottled water that we had, and I could taste like plastic in it. So, you know, these are things to keep in mind, you know, when you're making purchases. You know, you want to make a wise purchase, and you want to purchase the items that are going to be healthy for your family. As far as, you know, the jams or the preserves, like I said, my mom, she used to do her own. So that way you can control what's getting in there, the sugar content. I used to buy the all fruit. My kids like the strawberries, but then I kind of switched from that because I'm up to thinking, well, if strawberries are high in pesticides, yes, I'm giving them without the sugar, but I'm giving them the pesticides. So I started, you know, getting some from the Nutrition World or even the Whole Food store. But even there, you got to watch because some of it is made with organic fruits, but it has a lot of sugar. But there was one that I found that didn't have any sugar in it. I can't even remember the brand, but it was just the fruit, and it's the organic fruit, all right? As far as the bread, like I said, you want the whole wheat bread, all right? The pasta, you want the whole wheat pasta. I even bought some spelt pasta. And some of that, you know, you use that. The kids, they'll get used to it. I mean, for a long time, we've been eating whole wheat bread. I mean, to my kids, that's just natural. You know, so the kids, you know, they can adapt to it. The rice, get the brown rice. All right. Also, as far as supplements, you want to make sure that you get some type of supplement for your children. We don't buy our vitamins from the grocery store. We go to the vitamin shop or get it like at Whole Foods or something like that. But, you know, really check what's in the vitamins. Now, just recently, because I was concerned about trying, you know, making sure that my kids are getting enough greens. You know, we have the supplements that we can take, you know, the tablets and the powder and all that stuff. So the last time I was at the vitamin shop, I asked them, I said, you know, do you have like the green supplements for the kids? And she showed me this vitamin that had the green stuff in it. So I went ahead and I bought that for them, and we just started using it. It tasted good. It was a chewable tablet for the children. And that way, you know, because we know that we don't eat the way we're supposed to. That's why we take supplements, all right? And that way you can make sure that your children are getting, you know, the appropriate supplements that they need. But once again, you know, you got to do your research and see what's out there and make sure that it's appropriate for your kids, all right? Another thing to keep in mind is to incorporate live food in your meal planning. Live food. And the reason we say live food is because that's where the enzymes are. All right? That's where the enzymes are. When you cook food over 107 degrees, then you cause a lot of those enzymes to be destroyed. All right? And you're basically giving them dead food. And our body needs these enzymes to manufacture strong cells so that we can combat disease and illness. And like I said, one of the best ways is doing like the juicing. And then there's also a whole lot of different recipes in that book. And you can maybe even come up with some of your own recipes of live foods that you can give to your family. Salads, a great opportunity to give the kids some live foods. But you want to make sure that you're using the right type of lettuce, not the iceberg lettuce. All right? Using the romaine. One time we went out, there was a salad that they had made with the collard greens. It was really good. So that's something that you can get your kids to start eating. And that way they're getting live food. My children, they never really had a problem as far as eating the salads. My nephew had came to my house one time and we were having dinner and he wanted some more of the food. He wanted some more of the meat. But he didn't eat his salad. So I said, well, you have to eat, you know, your salad. So a few days later, my mom had told me that I guess he told her, yes, he calls my mom Meme. Yes, Meme, I was at Auntie Helen's house and I wanted some more meat. And she said I couldn't have any until I ate my leaves. She called them leaves. And I ate my leaves and they were good. You know, the kids are going to eat what you set before them. And what I do at our house is I don't make a whole bunch of different meals. You know, some people, they will cater and there's one meal that's made for the adults and there's one meal made for the kids. No, we're going to eat what's here. Now, I don't try intentionally to just make everything that they're not going to like. Like I said, you know what your family likes. And what I've been finding is that, you know, if you just try and be even creative and trying to make your food look attractive and appealing, that can encourage them to eat. All right. One time when I did vegetables, this was it's kind of like a steamed vegetable. It was green beans. And I got it from a magazine, Light and Tasty. What they did was they steamed the green beans. And what they did was they took some yellow squash and cut a little section like that where it made like a band. And they put the green beans inside of the squash and then steamed it that way. Well, it made it look different. When the kids saw that, they're like, ooh, and it looks pretty too. All right? So when you're doing your food preparations, you know, if you try and be creative and look to God for wisdom on how you can make your meals more nutritious. How can you incorporate those live foods? You know, that old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away? It was probably true. You're eating an apple, and especially if you're eating an organic apple, your children are eating something that is live. At my house, I try and keep a lot of fruit on hand. That's live food. It's a nice, healthy snack for them. An apple, a banana, oranges, all right? So try and incorporate those live foods. And one thing that I try and put in my mind is that I want to make sure that each meal, at the meals, that they've got something that's live in there. For the kids, sometimes in packing their lunch, I'll put the carrot sticks in there. And if you get those baby carrot sticks, they even sell them in the organic section. They're very sweet. All right? And then once again, you're giving them something that's live in their lunch. Okay? So keep in mind that as women, we are the dietitians of the home. We determine most women are the ones that are doing the cooking in the house. Most of the women, you're the one that's going out there doing the shopping, buying the food. All right? Get some books. Go to the library. Ernette was telling me about a book that she found at the library. I mean, the library is a wonderful source because you can get books free. All right? If you don't know how, let's say you're trying to avoid meat and you want to cook a little bit more vegetarian, I went there. They had a whole section filled with all these different vegetarian recipes. All right? So get books so you can educate yourself, so you'll know what kind of foods to serve your family. And I find that a lot of times if I know how something is affecting me, then it helps me as far as making the change to eat more healthier. I used to love drinking coffee. I mean, coffee was my weakness. Well, I'm off of the coffee. I'm not drinking anymore. Not an ounce of coffee. Not an ounce of coffee. Now, I tell you, when you get off of some of these things, it may affect you. I mean, they were talking about withdrawal symptoms. When I got off the coffee, and I guess I was blessed because it only lasted a day. And I heard some people say it's like 3 days. My head was hurting. I felt so sick. And of all days, I made Wednesday the day that I decided not to take it. I don't know if any of you were here that one service. I was sitting there during praise and worship, and then I left and I was gone the rest of the service. Well, my head was hurting so bad, and I'm like, there is no way I can sit up here like this with my head hurting, at least sitting up straight. I could sit slouched in the chair, but that wouldn't be appropriate up in the front row. So I had to go in the back, and I was just laying down. My head was hurting. I got sick to my stomach. I threw up. After that, the next day, I was fine. I was fine. But you know what? There's some other healthier substitutions. Have you ever heard of ticina? Ticina is a substitute. It's not it doesn't have any caffeine in it, but it has items in it that benefits you. It helps allows your body to maintain the alkaline state, which is good for you. It provides potassium in it, which will help give you energy. It also has a source of fiber that will help keep you regular. So here, I gave up the coffee, but I can still go through the moves. It's something you can put through the coffee maker. All right, because see, that's a different. If you're a coffee drinker, a lot of people, it's going through the moves. You put it through the coffee maker. You can, you know, the instant is not the same. But you put it through the coffee maker, and they have all these different flavors. So now I can still have my hot drink, but I'm getting something that is helping my body. All right? So you'll find that the more you educate yourself, read, and get information, it'll help you make the changes that you need to make. All right? And the more that you find that there's toxins and pesticides in a lot of the foods that are at the grocery store, it'll make you more cautious when you're going out there purchasing food, saying, no, I'm not going to get that. I'm going to get this, all right? I'm not going to prepare my food this way because that's not helpful for my family. I want to be a blessing to my family, so I'm going to do this. Live foods are good, all right? I'm going to come up with some creative ways in which I can get those live foods into my family, all right? And I really believe that if we as women, you know, so often, and this is just people in general, we don't want to go to God for the little things. We think only if it's a big problem and something big that that's what we need to go to the Lord. Well, if you want to be a keeper of the home, go to the Lord. Seek God concerning that because that's what's concerning you right now, right? Amen. How you can be a blessing to your family, all right? And then also share with one another. If you get a certain idea, share it with your sister. Let her know, hey, you know what? I tried this and I did this and this really worked. And then maybe they can try doing it, all right? So I just encourage all of you to get more information regarding how you can be that dietitian of the home. Because, see, we're helping our children. We can decide just by the things that we do at home, we can determine whether or not when our kids get older, they're going to be healthier or they're going to be weak. All right? Whether or not they're going to be healthy or if they're going to be sick. All right? Can you hold on 1 second, Ms. Cook? They have a tape, a mic that they're going to give you.
I was making a salad the other day, just a vegetable salad with all of the green, red, and yellow vegetables in it. And I'm looking at this broccoli and cauliflower, which I have a very difficult time digesting. And something said, why don't you put it in the blender? And I put the whole thing in the blender, a cup of distilled water, some seasoning, and I had a light soup.
All right.
So once you, what I find, I am heavily into it. I'm about 85% raw, 15% cooked. And I do a lot of creative. Once you get off into it, all kinds of ideas run through your mind of things that you can do. It's just a matter of getting used to it. That's all.
And, you know, there's a lot of good resources out there. I'm not sure if all of you were here when Pastor passed out the magazine, the Hallelujah magazine. Now, I did several of the recipes that were in there. They were delicious. There were a couple raw desserts that I did, and they were really good. The lemon squares, and it was completely raw. There was a date square that I did. There was some type of carob fudge brownies that I want to do because I also like chocolate. But carobs is better for you. But they had sweet potatoes, which was a cooked dish in there. But you're using natural ingredients. All right. And so if you go to those resources, you can get ideas of what you can do. There was also a raw stuffing, walnut stuffing that I did. And there was a gravy that went on it. And it was very good. All right. So, you know, the main thing is that you got to try. There's some things that I do for the kids and provide for them that they don't like. So it's a trial and error. You got to find out what works for your family. Some things there's no choice. You're going to just eat this. Now, the other day, I made this dessert, and it was like a parfait, and it was all fruits in it, raw fruits, and you froze the banana and the strawberries and the kiwis, and you made this like pie. Well, when I was making it, Pastor and I tasted the filling with the banana and strawberry, and it tasted just like ice cream. There's this one book that we got with our juice machine, and it tells you how to make ice cream, not using all those preservatives. You're not using any milk. It's nothing but fruit. Frozen bananas, strawberries, you freeze them up, you put it through that juicer, and it comes out just like ice cream. And it's a healthy substitution for your kids, and you're giving them live food. All right? Does anybody else have any things that you started doing? Because once again, you know, we can learn from one another. Natasha, Lynn has a mic for you. Hold on a second. Lynn has the mic for you.
I had another comment, but I had another comment, but you said things that we do. Well, we're trying not to eat as much meat. So like you say, find a substitute. Like the other night we had what was supposed to be hamburger, but it wasn't. I found a recipe where you cook your red beans, your raw kidney beans, mush them up in the food processor with mushrooms and all that, make a patty, and then put them in the oven.
Right.
Well, when the kids first took a bite, they were like, I think we like the meat better. So, and what it tasted like the refried beans.
Yeah.
So I said, I've got some organic salsa, and I got lettuce.
Okay.
And jalapenos, so we put that on top. And they're like, oh, this is good.
Yes.
They want it more. And as far as, you know, the meat, every now and again, we might have chicken. But the other night, we made, I put some almonds in the food processor with whole wheat bread and made a coating and then put it in the oven. And it tastes, the crust on it was just good. And then for the sauce, I just used tomatoes and garlic in the food processor and put it on top. And, you know, that was really good. But the comment I wanted to make was with Joey. His teacher, my heart goes out to the kids at school because the school lunches are not good at all. I mean, some of it's not even food. Dave and I went up there to eat lunch with Joey and Michaela, and the choices that they had was not, it was mostly sugar.
Right.
So I start packing their lunches. And Joey, I was emptying his lunchbox when he got home one day, and I found a little fun-sized Butterfinger wrapper. And I said, Joey, you had candy in your lunch today? He was like, oh, I'm sorry, but it was just so good. And I know we're going to eat healthy. And he was trying to explain where he got it from. I said, Joey, that's no problem. That's something that we don't have. That's something that mommy does not buy. A little fun size is okay. Just don't think that you're sinning or you're doing wrong right. just because you had a Butterfinger. And the same thing with Josh. You know, they want what the other kids are having. And he was telling me what he had for lunch. And then he neglected to tell me he had bought a big fudge brownie with icing. Well, I know we're supposed to be eating healthy, but it's like, what do you do when they want to please you, but then they want what other kids are having? But it's like, you know, you got to find that substitute, but then it's like, okay, you know what? It's not going to kill you. Go ahead and eat it just this one time, but is that right? Eat, you know, too. I don't know.
What we do with our kids is we basically try and educate them, you know, and you let them know what foods are good and what foods are not. Now, yes, maybe we might go out and maybe if someone has a birthday party or something like that, I'll eat some cake. And I think, you know, if you just have one and that's not a lifestyle, you know, it's not going to really affect you as much. But I think the main thing is training your kids up. And now, like I know, like even like with the cereal, before we were really into really watching what we were eating. I had a certain number that I was looking for on the cereal for the sugar content. And so the kids knew. So even when they were at the grocery store, Chris was up there. No, we can't have this one. It has too much sugar. This one has too much sugar. You know? So I think if you educate them and you let them know that, you know, well, you know what? If you eat a lot of candy, this is what it's going to do to you. You know, one piece of candy, yeah, it's not going to hurt you. But if you keep eating a lot, then yes, it will. There was this one tape that Pastor had me listen to, and it was raising children on the Hallelujah diet. And this guy made a very important, I thought it was a good point that he had made as far as raising your kids. Because like you said, when you're dealing with kids, it's a little bit of a different factor. Us as adults, we can like just deal with it. But sometimes with the kids, you know, they may go to a birthday party. They may do this. How do you handle that? And what he had said, there was this one person that came to one of his meetings. And I guess what they were doing was all of the week, they were basically following the Hallelujah diet, which was 85% raw and 15% cooked. As a family, that's what they were doing. But he was kind of reluctant to go up because when he talked to this man, he said, but you know what we do? On Fridays, you know, my family, we really like having pizza. And so every Friday, we go for pizza. And he felt really bad, probably the way Joey was up there, you know, but it was so good, Mom. It was so good. And so the guy said, all right, so 6 days out of the week, you eat right. And one day, you went out and you had pizza. That's a lot better than what most folk are doing. And at least that's something that you're kids are able to deal with, all right? You know, when we go out to eat, we don't go out as much as we used to, but, you know, we kind of watch, you know, what we eat. But when you go out to a restaurant, you're basically at the hands of the people there, you know? So we just try and teach our kids to make healthy choices. If we go to a birthday party or something, you know, I'm not going to tell the kids they can't have any cake. Well, see, we don't eat cake every day at home, all right? So, and I think the key thing is educating your children. You're teaching them. That way they can make the decision. Because, see, if they don't know what's good and what's not good for them, and if they don't know the reason why it's not good, then when they get older, they're not going to make healthy choices. You know, what's up here is going to determine the decisions that you make. All right? And so we have to teach our kids what's good. All right? What's good? You know, like I said, I don't make a whole lot of different meals. What I cook, that's for dinner. And sometimes they're like, oh, you know, you made a yucky dinner. Well, that's dinner. And you're not having nothing else until tomorrow. If they're hungry enough, they'll eat it. And some of it is that they have to retrain. They were used to eating that other stuff. The way you change your eating habits and you start eating something different, they'll get used to it. I mean, if you look at a baby, when you first fed your baby, some of those babies, some of those vegetables and stuff like that, you know, spitting it out of their mouth. But they had to get acclimated to the taste of it. And sometimes it's not a matter of taste. We're eating it for the nutrients. And if you train your children that the purpose of the food is to fuel your body, not necessarily for taste. However, there are foods that taste good, but that's not why we're eating, because it tastes good. We're eating because it's going to give my body the nutrients that it needs to be healthy and to be strong. And I think if you look for some creative ideals, you know, you can still make your meals nutritious and still enjoyable. All right? But you just have to be creative. You have to try different things and find out what works for your family. Like I said, you know the taste that your family likes. Like when Latasha was talking about the bean burger that she made, at first they didn't like it, but then she's up there thinking, and probably the thought that ran across your mind, you know, they like Mexican. Put some salsa on it. And I think it's a rethinking just from our standpoint, too. Get stronger. Did anybody else have a comment? Amanda?
What do you use for milk? Do you still use milk? What kind do you use?
We don't use regular milk. I'm starting to think about maybe trying some of that goat milk. And the reason being is because I'm hearing so much about the soy milk and even the rice milk. Well, just basically because it's still processed or whatever. And what I heard in this one book that I was reading, they were recommending the goat's milk. Because I guess the molecules in the goat's milk is more like human milk. And so it might be easier for us to digest. So this other person, well, actually it was Dr. Day. She didn't go for any of that stuff, the rice or the soy milk. And I think basically because both of them are processed. But I was reading somewhere as far as the goat's milk. And I'm thinking about maybe trying some of that. Right now what we use is we use the soy milk. And I'm glad you brought up as far as the soy milk, and this was something that I wanted to mention. Even the soy products, you have to look on the back of the for what's listed there, because some of the soy milk that I was getting, I noticed it had this item in it called carrageenan. And when I looked that up in my little book, I was really amazed to find out what was there. And this is what it says about the carrageenan. May cause ulcerative colitis. Possible carcinogen. May contain free glutamates. So what I've been doing as far as the milk, we are getting the soy milk, but I look on the back. Not all of them have the carrageenan in it. Some of it does. I know the one brand that I've been buying lately is Better Than Milk? Better Than Milk. Publix does sell it, but there's also some other brands that does not have that carrageenan in it. So just because it has soy, you still have to look on the back, because some of the items that's in it is not good for us. So, but I'm thinking about trying some of that goat milk. And, you know, I've just been hearing a whole lot of people talking about the soy and how it's causing problems and, you know, so I'm thinking about really trying some of the goat milk. And they even sell goat cheese. So,
you mentioned tacos. What kind of cheese do you use?
We've been using the soy products. They have like the veggie slices. Now they also have like the rice cheese slices made out of like the rice milk. They have organic cheese. But see, basically, you have to do the research for yourself. Because see, there may be a certain product that I'm using, but maybe because I feel comfortable with it. But you got to find out for yourself. You know, just like, you know, someone had told me about the soy milk, and so I'm up to thinking all soy milk is alike. But then when I looked on the back and I started looking at some of the stuff, I'm like, wait a minute, you know, this has some stuff in there that's not good for me. So I don't want to take that. But that's one area that I want to, you know, do a little bit. And as a matter of fact, the other day, Pastor was saying, you know, we need to really do a little bit more research on the soy and how it's affecting, because we're hearing a lot of people talking about the soy. Mm-hmm. And then I know when I was looking in Dr. Day's book, she was up there talking about, you know, the soy and the rice milk, but she's not into anything processed. So you know what I'm saying? So I mean, it kind of goes back to what I had said before when we were on the Walking in Divine Health. You know, one minute you hear one man saying, this is good for you, do this, You know, you need to get the information for yourself. And I said, but the bottom line, you got to follow after peace. Yeah, what do you have on the inside? Right. And look to, you know, look to God to order your footsteps, even in planning the meals, you know, because just because the man says that this is good for you doesn't mean that it is.
Yeah.
And we're following because he says it's good for us. You know, will you do your research? And then, you know, you take it to the Lord, you know, God, you know, give me some direction, you know, what do I need to do? What's best for my family?
That's
because
right.
I really believe that the Creator knows what's best for the creation.
That's right.
You know, because like, you know, Mrs. Cook was up there saying now she's hearing some stuff about the wheat, you know. So, I mean, you really have to just do your own research and then you've got to look to your heart for direction.
Right.
What do we need? What types of food should I eat?
Right.
And I think if you follow God and follow after peace, he's not going to lead you astray.
That's right.
And don't get into fear, you know, because you can get into fear with all this stuff going on. Oh, my gosh. Well, there's nothing I can eat, you know, because some people put their faith all in the food. And yes, I believe that food can help fuel our bodies. But see, my faith can't be in the food because like she said, you don't know what they're doing with that food. And I'm putting my confidence in that. Well, you know, you've got to follow after wisdom. Because man will fail you.
Yeah. I agree with what you said because, you know, I was trying to do right and whatever, but I had a talk, you know, with the family. I said, we're going to take it slow. We're going to listen and see what God says is best for our family. Well, he hasn't said, he hadn't put it in my heart since I'm a nutritionist. He hadn't said, cut out cheese. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've cut out milk and other, you know, milk products, but I don't feel convicted. I mean, that doesn't mean nobody else feels convicted, but that's something, but he has said no pork, no shrimp, no nothing. And I feel that in my heart. I can't even sit down to eat it. And then, you know, but like you said, I mean, it was profound. I remember the first time you said, every time I go to the grocery store, what does wisdom say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does wisdom say is right for our family? So, and I can't feel convicted if I go over Shay's house and they're, you know, sitting down this dinner and I'm over there still eating cheese. So, but, and the thing that when Tammy was talking about Malik being sick, the same thing, I vowed off last year, no more antibiotics for my kids. I'm not going to take my kids to the doctor every time they're sick. I don't say that everybody should do that, but that's something that we're not doing. So I said, okay. What did my grandparents used to do? Because we never went to the doctor when we were sick.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my kids had an earache. So I got the mineral oil and heated it up on the spoon like they used to do and put it in their ear. And it was like instantly, you know, his ear got better, no pain. I'm like,
natural
see, they
cures.
Knew what they were talking about. And the rest, they had sore throats. All my kids were home. It was 1 week, 2 weeks. It seemed like one or two children were home for that 2 weeks. But I said, okay, rest. There has to be something in rest.
Mm-hmm.
So I juiced them some lemons, some ginger, oranges, all that vitamin C I can juice just by sore throat and say, okay, you're going to be home for 2 days. Well, 2 days home equal the rest of the week at school. And they start saying Motrin. Don't give your children Motrin because Motrin is starting to burn their insides, their organs from the outside in. And, you know, all these other medications. So I said, no more that. I'm just going to go back to what our grandparents used to do because we didn't have no baby, you know, medicines in the house or nothing like that. My mom gave us, you know, cod liver oil and castor oil and you know, all that other stuff. So we're going back to because there was they had wisdom back then.
Right.
They had wisdom back then.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. So I think there's a lot that we learned, you know, today, and there's a lot of books out there. But once again, you know, you got to try and get the information for yourself and then follow after your heart because, you know, you'll pick up one book and it'll say, do this. Another book will say, no, don't do that. Do this. You know, this isn't good for you. Yes, this is good for you. You can get confused. But you know what? God isn't the author of confusion. And so that's why I said, you know, the bottom line is you have to trust him. If he says that you're supposed to be the keeper of the home, he can give you the wisdom and the direction that you need so you can be that keeper of the home. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Why don't we bow our heads? Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for these words of wisdom that you gave us today, Father God. And I just pray, dear God, for all of these wisdom, all of these women, Lord, that as we endeavor to be keepers of the home, Lord, as we endeavor to seek your will concerning the feeding of our children, the feeding of our family, Lord, that you'll just give each and every one of them the wisdom and the direction that they're desiring, Lord, so that they can be godly keepers of the home. Excellent wives, excellent women, excellent dietitians of the home, Father God. We thank you, dear God, for these words. In Jesus' precious name, amen.